So we've been digging sort of into scripture and Isaiah 40, 31. Now, it's not on the slides, but just you should know this by now. It says, but they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this has kind of been our theme scripture for this year. And just want to remind us, it's those that wait on the Lord that renews their strength, that mount up on wings like eagles, that run and not get weary. And anything that we do this year and we've been doing, for me, comes back to that intimate, deep relationship with Jesus Christ. I think we will miss a lot if that's the one thing we are not doing. This life can be about so many things. And for each one of us, as we're sitting here, and I don't know about you, but yes, man, we've had a crazy couple of weeks. Yeah. And fighting for that has kind of been my main mission. And sometimes I got it right, other times and not so much. Because, yes, man, life ninja'd us in the last couple of weeks. And we kind of still in that prayer. You know, last week I spoke about the testing, and it's like we're there. The testing of our faith is continuing. Just maybe an update for those that know, that for our visitors, our house got flooded Tuesday a week ago, but not with normal water, with sewage water. And that is rough. No, that is, you know, I've been a plumber for 20 years, never saw anything like that. I've dealt with a lot of sewage, but not in my house. Okay, this is different. And up to now, the insurance have done nothing. We are still waiting. So we still, they paid for us to stay in a bed and breakfast, but self-catering. We're still there. And it's very inconvenient, okay? It's very inconvenient. But it's lekker. I'm on holiday, apparently. I just wish my brain will realize it that I'm on holiday. In any case, so waiting on the Lord has been so you know, even just we're not in our house, so not that space where everything is comfortable. You know, we kind of three in the house, so we have to figure out it's a one bedroom situation in a lounge. So getting your quiet time, your time with the Lord is not as easy as it necessarily at home. So we're wrestling through this. Okay, so we're working on it, and it's lovely being sitting next to my wife in bed having quiet time. It's really been cool, but that waiting on God is so important. And then from there, we've been sort of this renew theme. I tried to get away from it this week. Next week is Pentecost. Yeah? So maybe it's going to read renewed Holy Spirit or something. I don't know. Let's see what the Lord does in this week. But talking about citizenship this morning. Citizenship. Now, just for yourself, what does that mean to you? What does citizenship mean to you? Now, for those that have traveled, when I went to India last year, I'm a citizen of South Africa. But the moment you step through another border, it's weird, man. I'm in a different country, different rules, different way of doing, different language, everything. Those that travel, I don't travel often, but I felt uncomfortable. But the one thing that did not change as I walked through those borders, as I traveled to Missouri and etc., the one thing that did not change was my citizenship. I always stayed a citizen of South Africa, and I'm visiting this country. Now, before I get too much in that, maybe just something to ponder about before we consider the scripture. I think it's fair to say that one of the things that Christians And not just speaking, not speaking to us necessarily, but maybe broader, struggle with is identity. Identity. Who am I? But I'm not speaking, you know, some of us have some stuff that's happened in the past and we kind of have to try and figure who we are and wrestle through that with God. But I'm more talking about your spiritual identity. Who am I? You see, the answer to this question can make you or break you. The answer to this question can propel you into a life of significance, or in essence, I guess, just an ordinary, meaningless life, like every other person. What is your what is your spiritual identity? How do you see yourself? You call yourself a Christian. What does that say? So Romans 12, and this is a scripture that you guys know by heart. This is such a good scripture, but I just want us to consider it this morning. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters," and this is an NLT version, "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you." So give your body. In other words, there's a walking before God that means that I'm taking this body to certain place. I'm offering it up for what He has done for me. So this offering is in response to something that I've already received. "Let them be living and holy sacrifice." Now, living obviously means that we have to do this while we're this side of heaven. Holy means being set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from what I used to be? As a holy offering to God. And then it continues to say, "the kind He will find acceptable." In other words, there's a viewpoint here from God. What does He find? What is this life we're speaking about that He finds acceptable? So it's not so much what I decide God needs to get, as opposed to what He finds acceptable and aligning my life with that purpose. In other words, there will be a stripping away, there'll be a saying no, there'll be a changing of lifestyle, there'll be a changing of mindset, there'll be changing of so many things to align with what He finds acceptable. And when it comes to my identity, so often I think we miss the fact that we need to align who we are to who He says we are. So we kind of carry on in this trench of, you know, before I came to Christ, I kind of had a certain mindset, a certain way of doing, you know, things have happened, I've had different things. And when I come to Christ, it's almost like I don't step away from that. I kind of just carry on in this trench, allowing the things that used to be to define me in my new walk. And then he continues there, says, "This is truly the way to worship Him." Don't you love how the NLT puts it? This is truly, how do you worship God? By offering your body as a living sacrifice, being pleasing to Him, an aroma that is pleasing to Him. So it directly speaks to my daily walk, every day. Not some days, not just Sundays. Every day. So when the moment I wake up, the offering starts. It says, "Don't," verse 2, "don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Then he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, so often Christians wrestle with, but how do I know what's God's will? I guess if I deduct from this scripture, I cannot live a lifestyle in what I think it should be and look like, and in that mess, so to speak, try and figure out what God's will is. I will discover and know God's will the more I offer my life as a living sacrifice to Jesus daily. And in that process, as I'm living that out, I will get to know the will of God for my life in ways that I've never seen before. So it's that picture of, you know, a holy God sitting on a throne, and the closer I move to Him by living my life holy, getting rid of sin, getting rid of the stuff that prevents me from coming closer to, as I get closer to Him, the more I will know His will. The more I will understand what His plans are for my life. But if I'm playing on this side, you know, with my own way of doing and what I think should be done, and I never move close to Him, or maybe, you know, maybe I move close on Sunday and then I'm back here again, and then Sunday I'm back again, you know, Wednesday at small group. And this offering, I can imagine this picture of this, you know, to use biblical sense, the altar being built, the wood is on the fire, you know, the offering is on the altar, and then it gets off. Excuse me, I'll be back. I've got something to do, I'll be back, and then the offering gets off, and then Wednesday it comes back, all right, I'm back, I'm ready to be offered and get back onto the, excuse me, I'll be back. And Sunday he comes back, it's like, all right, I'm ready to be offered. Sorry, thinking pictures. According to the scripture, transformation happens when I allow God to transform me firstly into a new person. We are new creations, right? I'm no longer the old person that I used to be. It's new. When I allow God to do that in me, when He transforms me firstly into a new person, and then secondly, when He changes the way that I think, because my mind is being renewed by Scripture. When my mind is renewed, when He changes the way I think, it will touch the stuff that I think I can or cannot do, or what I can or cannot become, or what I can or cannot achieve. Suddenly, as He changes the way I think, He rewrites what I can do. Because in my limited thinking, I cannot do this Dakalian thing. It's 2 years in. Yes, I wanted to quit. But by His grace, and what He does in and through us, simple acts of obedience, Jesus is moving. Just being an offering, I guess. Being willing to lay on the altar and stay there. So I guess the question is, if you think of who you are, what does that evoke in you? Our thinking determines who we are more than what we care to acknowledge. I'm going to say that again. Your thinking determines a lot of what you do, how you act, how you respond in certain situations. Your thinking determines who you are. And that's why that scripture says that we need to be transformed. We need to renew the way. We need to allow God to get into our minds and change them. The ultimate mind change, right there, is when God gets into that. Proverbs 4, verse 23. This is the ERV version. Love how it says it. Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. It's great to have a brain, but that thing thinks. But that thing thinks and ponders on whatever you feed it, what you show it, what comes in through your ear gate and your eye gate. You feed your mind stuff. And whatever you feed it, you're going to become. And I'm going to become. If I simply, and you can go test this if you're brave enough, all right? If you go sit and merely ponder on the things that's gone wrong in your life, I can guarantee you that you most probably end up in depression. If you go sit and think of your life journey and you're just critical about what it's been, you will struggle. But if you allow God even to show you in your life's journey who He was, where He was, and what He was busy doing, your entire life over your lookout over your past is going to change. And I know this from experience, because as I've dealt with stuff in my past, when I got God's perspective of what happened there, it changed for me. Where it became an anchor or a tripping up thing, it actually became a stepping stone. It became something that God showed me, the beauty of that scripture that says He makes all things work together for the good for those who love Him. How God took that thing and just changes Him. And now that I'm aware of it, I can allow Him to do even greater things, because now I'm thinking differently on what has happened. Hey, listen, and I know there's some people that's gone through some really hectic stuff. I know. I sit with some of those people and talk through some of those things. But I want to tell you, when you get God's perspective on these things, don't be surprised at what He's going to do. What I identify with determines who I will be. In other words, whatever I latch my identity to is going to determine who I am going to be. If I find my identity in worldly words, wisdom and accolades and that kind of stuff, it will determine what I'm going to be. It influences what I think about and ultimately changes who I, or determines who I'm becoming. But if I choose to now hook my identity off who God says I am, what His plans are for me, etc., then I guess the result is going to look completely different. And this, I guess, is the wrestle of life, is that as we journey through this life, we latch on to different stuff at different times. And as I draw closer to that holiness, He will show me where I am hooking it onto the wrong stuff. But if I've never allowing Him to change my mind, I will actually, defend what I'm doing. And saying, but this is right. So I guess the question is, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, where should my identity come from? Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3 says that since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Have you made the transition from a normal, ordinary life to a life that thinks and ponders from the throne room of God? A life that gets fed by the very presence of the Lord. You see, because I'm no longer of this earth. You are no longer of this earth. You have been raised to new life with Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor and God's throne. Again, you know, there's so much going on in this world. I think this becomes very important for where we find ourselves right now. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. See, sadly, many Christians don't make this transition to the heavenly citizenship. They remain citizens of earth, trying to live, you know, I don't know, get to heaven or something. But often, many Christians get stuck in this place where they're trying to live a heavenly lifestyle from an earthly perspective. And the earth's rules and regulations. But my citizenship is no longer of this place. I'm not a citizen. My citizenship doesn't say spiritually RSA anymore. It says Kingdom of the Most High God. If I say to you, or if you say, just in your conversation with other people, I am a Christian. What do you mean? What do you mean when you say, I'm a Christian? What is your definition? What does it look like? You see, because this world is full of people that say they are Christian, right? This world has been messed up by people who call themselves Christians. There's been wars fought by people who said they are Christians. So what is a Christian? Well, if you say, I am a Christian, what do you actually mean? You have to define that to me. If you have to tell me what a Christian is, what would you say to me? Is it someone that goes to church on Sundays? Does making you going to church on a Sunday, most Sundays, Christian, does going to small group make me a Christian? Does reading my Bible make me a Christian? Does praying make me a Christian? What makes me a Christian? What does this thing that we call Christian look like? Is it a certain living style of living? What do you think about? Or is it, you know, if you say the word Christian, is that just a bunch of rules? And I should not do a lot of these things. I used to love doing those things. Now I just don't, I should not do them. I stopped doing them. What does it mean to you when you say to someone, I'm a Christian? And then my next question is, how does that answer align with the Spirit of Christ, Jesus? What he says a Christian looks like. The kingdom perspective, his point of view of who a Christian is. And I guess then another question is if I say, I define it from Christ's point of view, then I guess the question would be, do I actually walk it out? Is that the lifestyle? I just want to give you a moment. What does a Christian mean to you? If you say to someone, I am a Christian, how will they know it? If you say that to them and you walk away and they observe your life, can they say from whatever they see that you are a Christian? by the way you drive. We've been having a lot of fun at Bible school, this one. Sorry, Mark. Love you, buddy. See, when I'm a citizen, you're on earth of heaven, it's like being part of that earthly embassy, representing the kingdom of heaven. We are expatriates with citizenship in heaven. While we live on earth, but my identity and my allegiance are firmly rooted in the heavens. And the one thing I keep waiting for is the return of my Lord and Savior. So I'm on this earth. I'm part of this embassy. I'm representing my King here on earth. My citizenship is no longer of this earth. And this is what I think Christians so often, or some Christians, never do. They never change their citizenship. They remain under the laws that govern this world and fail to transition to their new citizenship, representing their new kingdom. I mean, if you look at the movies and stuff, if you are in trouble, as you know, like in movies, obviously the Americans now are in some foreign country. I mean, they will head to the embassy. Why? Because the moment you step onto that, it is. It's the United States ground. That country can do nothing to you the moment you step in there. Isn't this true of your walk here? Scripture says every place my feet shall tread belongs to my God. So I've got authority that has been delegated to me to live in this earth by the authority not of this earth, but of the kingdom from which I'm from. I am representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it changes the way that I move on this earth. I am no longer on its laws, its dictates, its thoughts, and its stuff. That is not where I'm drawing from. I'm drawing from the King. You know, when in our former citizenship, I had to take care of everything myself. Protecting myself, providing for myself. But now that I've stepped into the citizenship of the King, it's the King's responsibility to look after me, to provide for me, to give me protection, and then, if needed, remove me from here. You see, I come under authority of the King. I obey the King and what he says. And while I'm here on earth, I merely represent that kingdom. I am privileged to live out my new citizenship in this place. As I enjoy the protection and the provisions and everything, I can just tell of the good news of the kingdom. How many people has left South Africa because of people that told them of what's going on there? Fortunately, we've got Heather that moved here. We've got some Americans here, okay, so we're importing them slowly but surely. No, I'm just kidding. I'm an ambassador of my homeland and of Jesus Christ. For that reason, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but I thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve the victory through our faith. Colossians 3:10 says, put on your new nature and be renewed in as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. The one thing that trips us up here, this side of heaven, is this thing called sin. Sin often gets us in trouble, right? Obviously none of you. Yes, 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 yes. But see, he gives us the victory over sin. And because I'm not from this place, I can simply walk in that victory. I overcome sin. Well, because he overcame it. He dealt with sin. He paid the full price. We had communion this morning. Communion speaks of it's paid in full. There's no outstanding letter of debt against your life any longer. It's been dealt with. So don't run back to sin and go waffle in there. Just complain because it used to be comfortable and so on. No, 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 no. That's not who I am anymore. That's not my identity. That's not what's happening here. I have now been transformed, renewed into the kingdom of heaven. I don't do those things anymore because, hey man, I've got a new lifestyle, new citizenship. I am dead to sin. I've said this before. I've never heard a dead guy with an opinion. If I am dead to sin, you know, I'm not good with math, but this is all right math. I can understand that. If I'm dead to something, I am. Cynthia, dead is dead, right? You're not going to correct me now with some other form of deadness. So I'm dead, deader, deadest to sin. All right, now I'm taking it far. Cynthia is going to sort me out just now. My sinful past has been dealt with. You know, even what happened yesterday, you know what it's done? It's been dealt with. If I ask for forgiveness, it's dealt with. If I walk away from it, if I repent, true repentance, and don't do that again, it's dealt with. But we've got this accuser dude going around who keeps wanting to remind us of the stuff we did or didn't do. Because it's not just the stuff that we do. It's the stuff that sometimes we don't do. Like, whoa, champ, you have not been in church for 3 weeks. Hate Philistine, champ. Jesus doesn't want you in his church. You too unfaithful. Well, it's easy. Just change it. Just become faithful, I guess. You see, now this is difficult stuff. I'm struggling to understand this morning, you know. You see, when I allow him to change my mind, he renews my mind, he changes the way that I think, and I'm thinking from this heavenly source, it changes everything that I do. But the moment I latch onto my old, I will keep trying to fulfill that, deal with that, and I'll never move on to what God has called me. I'll keep being stuck here because it's not nice. Say goodbye to the past. It's been paid for. It's been dealt with. I'm making this very simple. I understand there's really some people that need to work through stuff. Please don't. But there is a place where you have to accept the forgiveness that's been granted and move on. And not like a dog go back to his vomit the whole time. Just that picture is ugly, man. And it's in the Bible. Now you're all thinking of a dog. Yes. Or a dog eats poo and then comes kiss you on the mouth. Nie man sis. Yes, mean so. Sometimes dog lovers scare me. I like my dogs, okay? But that scares me. It's like, hey, what did you lick last? I saw where you sniffing, champ. I'm not you. No. Step away from me. I share this because I think Jesus wants us to move on. honestly think he does. We are so stuck on our past that we don't move on. You know what happens if we don't move on? It frustrates the purposes of the kingdom through me on this earth. Because the moment I don't feel good enough, what do? I back off. Jesus would say, hey, listen, that guy's lonely, just go chat to him. You're like, hey, no. I didn't pray this morning, I'm not doing that. Instead of just going like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And my mind gets renewed and I get, you know, Wednesday blew my mind again. That was chaos, people. We had all reason to go pull the plug and say, scrap tonight. It's not going to work. But Jesus had an appointment with 50 odd kids. It was such a privilege to do that. But you see, if I'm on the train or on the highway or whatever I am, and because of my sins and not my heavenly perspective, I don't do what Jesus wants me to do, then people don't get touched. I'm dead to sin. So hereby I give notice to sin. I'm dead. Good luck, champ. I don't know where you're going to take that, what you want to do, but this boy is dead to sin. But if I sin, I have an advocate whom I can speak to that forgives me. It's not habitual sin. I don't do this anymore because it's just the habit of who my life is anymore. But I'm dead to this thing. I am a new creation. The values that I now hold is not the values of this world anymore. It's been changed. It's been transformed. It's the stuff that I used to do. Now it's like, psh, nah. I'm setting my sights to the heavenly things. My mind is being renewed by the things where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. And there's another scripture that says that I sit there right there with him. We dealt with it last week. I rule, according to scripture, I rule and reign with Christ. I'm a co-heir with him. I'm not. What does it mean to you when you say that I'm a Christian? See, when I get born again, I guess so must my identity. My identity needs to get born again. You with me? It needs to be transformed and changed. It needs to align with my heavenly home. I need to cast off those thoughts that is no longer from my heavenly home. I do not receive condemnation anymore because I resist the evil of this world. I resist the devil because I'm no longer of this world. Love comes from me now because the one that I serve loves. You know, maybe I don't get it right sometimes. Yeah, no, I don't. But the closer I get, the more that I'll get that right. I can live this overcoming, conquering life in Christ because I am more than an overcomer. So this picture, what is this picture about? Jimmy will help me with this. With the Romans, in terms of citizenship, you would get this bronze thing. Can you imagine carrying that around? Dude, they don't make pockets good enough for that. You know, I'm a citizen, boys. I got my plaque. You want to see it? Okay, this is just an example of what it used to be, but you only got it after 25 years of military service. A Roman citizen that got that, you know, one thing that we can say from that, he paid the price of service to get that thing. My heavenly citizenship cost Jesus everything. I got it for free as I received him as my personal Lord and Savior. What passport do you carry around with you as you journey through this life? Let's stand. And then I'm going to close for us.